Well, as I said before, we have a great day ahead of us. And our theme is from Ephesians. And if you would just open your Bible, please, to the book of Ephesians. And our theme is redeeming the time. And just to give you a little background and context for those verses that we're going to be looking into today, I want to give a little background on the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote this book or this letter to the saints at Ephesus. And Ephesus was one of the great cities of Asia Minor. It was a Roman capital. It was a very wealthy and commercial trade city, and it was situated right on the Aegean Ocean, and it had a huge harbor that just called for world trade. So it was a very busy, bustling city that had all the goods of the world coming in and out of that. So there was an abundance there. They weren't lacking for anything. They had options and they had choices. It was also the center for the worship of Diana. And Diana was a goddess. And her temple was in Ephesus, and it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world at that time. It was this huge, magnificent temple. And the people of the city, they worshiped this goddess Diana. And part of that worship was a sexual worship with her. So you can just imagine, and if you just put your mind there for a minute, back in those days in this city, that you have all this trade going on, this wealth, this affluence, and then this idolatry and sorcery there. There's magic, there's superstition, there's demonic possession and oppression. I mean, everything that can be happening in a city is happening in Ephesus. Just like the world that we live in today and the cities that we live in today, you know, we have an abundance of material possessions. Everything that we need is right there in front of us. We have choices that we've never had before. Even when I was little and growing up, you know, you went into the store and maybe you had two choices. Now you have 15 or 20 choices, and it can get very confusing and very overwhelming at times when we have so much choice. And now we don't even have to leave our homes to do our shopping because you have the internet right there, and you have everything that you can possibly want or need. You have access right there where you can get something from the other side of the world. So it was much, we live in a time much like that city of Ephesus back then. Also, with that worship of Diana, and much of it was a sexual worship, as you know, the world that we live in is sex crazed. It's just sick. It's just they've taken what God made and God made that was good, and they've perverted it, and it's just sickening. And I saw a commercial the other day that I was just absolutely shocked at, and it was a commercial for Las Vegas. Maybe you've seen it, where there's this young girl, and she's, in each little snippet, she's meeting a different guy, and she changes her name in each little snippet. Hi, I'm Sally. Hi, I'm Marge. Hi, I'm using really old names, aren't I? Hi, I'm I don't know any new names. I'm Sally Sue. See, I don't know any new names. You go back to when you were a kid. Anyway, and then it comes on, and it said, anything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You've seen it too. Is that disgusting? I mean, this is the world that we live in today. It's just crazy. It's just absolutely nuts. We live in a society that tells us if it feels good, go ahead and do it. anything goes as long as it's right for you. When I was growing up, that's not how it went. People were doing that, but most people had a conscience. Most people would there was restraint, and now there's no restraint. Because the world is constantly pounding you. Do whatever feels good to you. And if it bothers somebody else, well, they'll have to deal with that. That's their problem. But as long as it feels good, go ahead and do it. It was like that in Ephesus during those days. The Apostle Paul, on his second missionary journey, he stopped by Ephesus for a very short visit, went into the city, and he left Priscilla and Aquila there. And then on his third missionary journey, he went back into Ephesus, and there he remained for 3 years. And every single day, he taught them the scriptures, and he preached the gospel to them. And God worked many, many miracles through Paul, and many, many people in that city came to know the Lord Jesus. It tells us in Acts chapter 19, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Salvation came to many people. Lives were changed because of Jesus Christ. They burned the bridges behind them. They burned their books, their old life. They're in this city where there's all of that demonic worship going on, all of that wealth, all of that trade, everybody eating, drinking, and being merry. And they're coming to know the Lord, and they're getting rid of their old life and now wanting to take a stand and live for Christ. Well, that bothered a lot of people in the city at that time, and there was a silversmith who used to make little silver Diana shrines and figurines that they would sell, and he would make money off of, and he was going to lose business if all these people were turning away from this worship of Diana and worshiping the true and the living God. So he stirred up the other merchants, and they stirred up the people of Ephesus, and they just all started going crazy, and the whole city ran into this theater. And a lot of them didn't even know why they were running in there. Have you ever gotten in the line and you don't know why you're in the line, but there's a lot of people over there, and so you just kind of go get in the line, and then you realize you've been in the wrong line for an hour or something like that. Well, they didn't even know what they were doing, and they ran into the theater. A riot went out, and for 2 hours they chanted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians, great is Diana of the Ephesians." And they wanted to bring Paul in, and Paul wanted to go in there to preach to all of them, but his friends restrained him, held him back. Pretty soon the riot died down, and they suggested that Paul leave the city. He did leave, but he left behind disciples. He left behind believers in Christ. And then later on his way to Jerusalem, he met with those Ephesian elders, the men who had now heard the word and now are growing and then leading the people of Ephesus. And he met with them and he warned them to take heed because savage wolves would come in. Watch over these people, because there are people out there that want to pull them away from Christ, much like the world that we live in today. And you put yourself in that place, wherever you live, and this whole society is moving around you, and you give your life to the Lord, and you want to take a stand for him, and then the people and their philosophies and religious systems and all of that, they're trying to draw people away from Christ. Now, later on, when Paul was in prison for his preaching Jesus, he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. And you just think about that. He's in prison. He gave his life to them for 3 years, giving them the gospel and encouraging them in the Lord. And a good solid church was built there, and there were believers and disciples, and they loved the Lord. And then they get this letter from the Apostle Paul. And for the first 3 chapters in this book, he reminds them over and over and over again all that God has done for them, all that the Lord has done for them. He reminded them of the riches that they have in Christ. He reminded them of the spiritual blessings that they have in Christ. All that Christ has done, that he chose you. He has accepted you. You have been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have an inheritance. You have a new life. There is hope. There is future. There is abundance now when you walk with Christ. So, first three chapters of Ephesians. If you're ever in a melancholy mood, turn to the book of Ephesians. If you're feeling like, oh, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, kind of a thing, go to the book of Ephesians, those first three chapters, read them over and over and over again. Mark in your Bible, take notes. This is what the Lord has done for me. And then in the next three chapters in the book of Ephesians, he exhorts them now to walk worthy of the calling that they've been called into. You've been called into this great blessings. This, you have redemption, forgiveness. I've chosen you. You're accepted in the beloved. Now respond to that and walk like you have all these things. It says that he sees us in the heavenly places, already seated there. Now live like that and walk like that. And walk is one of the key words in this book of Ephesians. In chapter 2, verse 2, it tells us that we once walked according to the course of this world. In chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In chapter 4, verse 1, we're to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. 4:17, we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And in 5:2, we're to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The world is walking in a certain direction, and most of us can see that. It has an agenda, and it is going in a certain direction. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the world conducts itself in the lusts of its flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And then in chapter 4, verse 17, he said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the world. It's all about self. It's all about me. And the world is walking in that direction. But he goes on in verse 20 and he said, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So we are to walk opposite of the world. We're to turn around and go into the other direction. We're to walk worthy of the calling in which we were called. We're to walk in those good works that he prepared for us to do. Our relationship with the Lord is to be active. Walking is an action word. It's to be moving ahead. We're to always continue to grow in the Lord. Every single day, there shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't learn something new about him, and that he doesn't speak to our hearts, and we respond to that, and we grow in him. We're to grow in our love for him more and more every day. We used to sing that song years ago, I keep falling in love with him over and over again, over and over. He gets sweeter and sweeter every single day. We're to know him better, to walk, to continue growing, to grow in the knowledge of his word, in the light of what he's done. And you just think for a moment what he has given you, what he has done in your own life and in your heart and in your mind. And then you just respond to that. You say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to walk with you. I want to be pleasing to you. And as I said, as Christians, we are to walk in the opposite direction that the world is going in. The world is going this way, we're to walk that way. You know, there was that t-shirt years ago with the fish on it, and it said, go against the flow, and all the fish were going one way, and then that one little fish was going the opposite way. And what a good picture that is for us, because if you have a flow of water and all the fish are flowing that way, to have one fish go upstream and fight against it, it's not easy. He might be the only one, and that's the way our lives are sometimes in the Lord, where the current of the world, the current of the society, the city, our neighborhood, our place of employment, or wherever we might be, everybody might be going in this direction, and we're to go in the opposite direction. Our lives are supposed to be different from this world. And the world and the enemy has given us every single thing that we need right now, right at our fingertips, to be rocked asleep. And it's subtle. It is really subtle. In fact, some of us right now can be asleep and we don't even know it. We have everything we need to make us comfortable in this world, don't we? Even the poorest of people in our country are rich. We have everything that we need to be comfortable. We have everything that we need to go the flow of it. It's just go the flow of the world. It's easier that way. There's no fight. There's no struggle. When you just give in to it all, you just float. But that's not the Christian life. And we have everything we need to take on the form of this world. We're bombarded with that every single day through ads and magazines and TV and radio and all those things that tell us what we're supposed to look like and what we're supposed to buy next and how we're supposed to act and this new product and that new product. And I got on some list because I guess I'm getting older, and now they're giving me all these magazines of, this will take care of this wrinkle and this will take care of that. And you're like, oh, please. Oh, so I just have it all right there, ready to take on the form of the world. But today, the Lord has brought each one of us here by a divine appointment. It's not an accident that we're here today, and it really, in some ways, wasn't really even our choice. The Lord has called us. He's given us this day and this time, and he wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to wake us up if we have fallen asleep in any area of our life. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit in the light of what God has done for us. We need to wake up. If we have fallen asleep in any area of our life, today is the day to wake up. The Lord brought every single one of us here today to gently shake us, or even shake us a little harder, to say, wake up. Because there might be a small area in our hearts and in our lives that we've fallen asleep. We're going the flow of the world. We've taken on the form of the world. Or there may be a huge area. Either way, it is time to wake up. Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The Lord is here with us today. He's present with us. His Holy Spirit has filled this place. He tells us to ask and we will receive, and we have asked over and over and over again. Lord, fill this place with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Touch the hearts of these women. Speak to them today. Let us wake up if we have fallen asleep. His Spirit is moving. He will speak. He will do a work in our hearts. He wants to remind us today, teach us today, to walk circumspectly, to be aware of the times in which we live, so that we don't have our head in the sand and we don't know what's going on, so that we use wisdom in our lives. He wants to teach us and remind us to redeem the time. So much time is wasted. It's just a waste. It's spent on ourselves. And he wants to speak to our hearts. Redeem the time wisely. He wants us to know and understand what his will is, so that we don't have to stumble around anymore. So that we know, what you called me to? What am I to do today, Lord? How am I to live my life for you? And he eagerly wants us to be filled with his Spirit, because it's his Spirit that gives us the power and the equipping in our lives to live victoriously and to go against the flow of this world. And you have chosen the needful thing today. And Jesus commended Mary because she chose the one thing that was needful. And you have done that, to come and to sit at his feet. God's word will not return void. Every time we open his word, we hear his word read, we read his word, his Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and it is there, and it will remain, and it will bear fruit. His Spirit wants to move in our lives. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that once again, that every single heart, mine included, Lord, would be open to hear from you. And Father, I'm awake, I haven't fallen asleep. Lord, if I have, if any of us have, will you gently nudge, and will you shake if necessary, so that we wake up? Teach us your ways, Lord. Show us your paths today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being faithful to your word. And we go in confidence, knowing that you will do a work in each one of our lives today. And we look forward to what you have for us through our speakers today, Lord. Continue to bless our time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.